Welcome, friends and adventurers, to another episode of Dungeons and Blackguards. I am the Dungeon Master, Robulon. Joining me in no particular order are the players and their level 5 characters. Caleb.
Hello, I'm playing Kaito Itata. I'm a Warforged Barbarian level 5.
Brayden.
Hey, I'm Brayden. I'm playing Belleg Dagar, half-elf Hexblade Warlock, also level 5.
Brandon.
Hey, I'm Brandon. I'm playing Ikaruk Poonschley. I'm a Bloodhunter, half-orc, level 5.
Tomo.
Hey, I'm Tomo. I'm playing Steve Tellyman, a level 5 Gloomstalker Ranger Boy.
P.S. We have a badger.
Krizblick.
Oh, Krizblick.
Previously on Dungeons and Blackguards.
Rook, you wake up, you know, having had this flashback.
Well, being the first step and having such a heavy previous day, I'm going to throw on my nightie, walk down and pour myself a pint and sit alone at the bar and think on how the previous day went and how close I was to not being alive, not completing my mission.
And as you do that, there is a knock on the front door.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to acknowledge the knock because I'm just too deep in drinking my morning pint.
Hello, it's me, Dante, from the castle.
I faintly hear that and try to remember who the hell Dante was. So I guess I'll have to roll history.
Are you trying to just remain quiet as you drink your beer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dante from the castle ran around all day looking for the new very important people in Polb. Where's the quartermaster? Where's Nafri? Hello?
I'll go to the front door, pretty pissed off, because I'm just trying to have a quiet moment. I'm going to get up, storm over there quickly before I open and unlock the door. Look to make sure it's just him by himself. Is he there by himself?
These doors to your establishment, Brooke, it's like big doors with no opening for, to look through. You either open them and see who's out there, or you're just listening through them.
Well, I guess I'll listen through them for, half a minute to see if I can hear anybody else's footsteps.
You want me to punch a people?
And as Kaitoa, you lumber down the stairs. You two who were first back into the third floor of the White Chain to get your level 6 long rest on, you're also up first. And Kaito, as you lumber down, you hear the knock again.
Not even supposed to be here today either.
And you hear the footsteps receding away.
And I'm just going to leave it and go back to my pint.
What's the name of our little woodworker friend? What is his name? Porcus?
Porco.
Porco, yeah. So there's my list for Porco is create peephole indoor.
Yeah, totally. Dude, improvements.
Yeah, we're slowly. That's one thing. We need a little sliding shutter to peek open and slam shut. Yeah.
So, yeah, Kaitoa, then as you come down and join Rook, he's got a warm half glass. The knocking and the voice of clearly a messenger has receded away. And now it's just the two of you guys in the bottom floor of the White Chain.
How was your rest, Kaitoa?
Short.
I had a long dream. I need this pint.
All right.
that leads us to Kaitoa.
Yeah, this is a big one.
Can you roll a D4?
Yeah. 4. Oh, 1.
Okay. As you've come down into the bottom floor here, Kaitoa, your call it sleep cycle, your dream cycle is not, you know, maybe perhaps like a normal being might experience it. In fact, your dreams kind of continue long after you shut down. And during your tinkering phase, as you repair, you know, bits of your armor or your connective tissue that's been damaged, there's always a part of your mind that's kind of in a waking dream. And as you walk down here and you see Rook looking suspiciously at the door and holding his beer, you're thinking back to what has come up now recently in your mind. Your mission, your history, your past. And you think to when you most recently were sent forth in this era, in the desert plains of Monjob, Kaitoa. You rolled a 1, yes?
Yeah.
Then Kaitoa, you begin to experience a vision in your waking dream. You know, it's like an overlay over your current surroundings. You recall sand and fire all about you. It's as if you're inside an oven. There is particulate. It's as tough as glass and as sharp as nails and rocks swirling all about you. And you feel your armor, Kaitoa, being literally sand-blasted away, Kaitoa. Your armor is being sand-blasted away. And there you are, on a sand dune, in the middle of nowhere. What do you do?
What am I being sand-blasted with?
This massive firestorm has subsided. You are now left looking down at your body and your armor plating is gone.
I reach up and feel my body, trying to make sense of what's left.
All right, as you feel around your body, I mean, you're intact, except for the material, metallic components are gone. And Kaitoa, you realize you are in a new age of the world. Your mind is immediately looking up and around you. You have never seen this vista before. The sky looks different. The colors look different. It has been thousands of years since you have seen the light of day.
Okay, I'm gonna look around. Is anyone around me? Am I alone?
Desert all around.
I look up at the sun, trying to figure out what time of day it is.
The sun is high in the sky, and dunes stretch far and wide.
Can I look down at my arms and just see, like, what am I? Like, I don't believe I... It's like I'm being born for the first time, so I'm looking at my skin, seeing what it's made of.
You know, you recognize your body to be yours. This is not an unfamiliar form, but like you say, it's as if you're being born again into the world. This is a new experience to not, though, have armor plating. It's sort of, you are just the material and sinewy layer that would normally be encased in a protective shell. Otherwise, you're you, baby.
Okay. Recognizing the deserts, I'm gonna, I guess, head north. Well, you said sun's straight up.
To your southward direction from the orientation of the sun, there is unchanging, you know, desert. in all directions is very uniform, except for maybe to the east, there looks like the only indication of cloud. And you see, yeah, you see a bit of cloud far off in the distance to the east. Otherwise, whew, it is hot, desert, empty sky. And hey, yeah, Kaito immediately going through your head is like, don't gotta eat, don't gotta drink. Never been a problem before. This is not a problem.
How am I feeling? Like, full health, good to go?
Oh, yeah. Just like that. Yeah. Like, as far as taking in the surroundings, there's no panic in your mind. You are not concerned.
Yeah, I'm just going to start marching east towards, like, the only the smoke or the cloud.
As you set out eastwards, there is one item that is in your fist. And as you begin to set out eastwards, you recognize this item has been clenched in your fist. Must have been all along.
Is that my mood stone?
You open and see a black opalescent stone.
Yeah.
And it is glowing.
Is there color?
It's glowing bright, bright red. And Kaitoa, in your mind, you know the meaning of these colors.
So what is red? What kind of a feeling do I get from red?
It's a homing beacon.
All right.
Red means further away. Green means closer.
Right. Well, I peer into the distance looking at the fog. I look down at my stone in my hand. I see the red. And I look back the other direction to the west. Look back to the east. And then I start walking west.
Okay. Immediately, Kaito, as you start, like, stomping across the sand dunes, this thing starts correcting you, like, immediately. Every time you veer, you know, a little the wrong way, it will almost blink back to show you perhaps even the most minute correction.
All right, so I adjust until it's green and I stay on that course. A sailor marching through the sands.
As you do so, vistas and tundras change in front of you. Deserts give way to oasis and southern jungles and now the ocean. Kaitoa, you walk right through rivers and various different geographical obstacles as you simply follow this homing beacon.
I just keep marching until either something crosses my path. I need to stop and just have maintenance time. And I think I'd stop and hunt around and gather supplies. Basically just scavenge as I just, I'm doing a pilgrimage, I guess.
Pilgrimage, yeah. And so as you cross various realms here over the period of about 6 or 7 months, Kaitoa, you know, southeastern and indeed a lot of the eastern coast that you have traversed here seems to be in flux. Populations on the move, refugees, caravans on the road. You care not as you stomp forwards and finally reach the southern Len Sea, the lower Len Sea, and now at the edge of the ocean, Kaitoa. You pause, you know, and wonder how deep that ocean is, but your mood stone is indicating directly south off of the southern tip of the continent.
So in this city, I'm going to seek out the docks and a ship.
As you move about the city, various people come to offer you, you know, metal plating and such. In this town here, in the southern tip, there are a ton of sort of merchants, scrap merchants who seem to feel like you might be a customer.
Hey, I'm just gonna keep walking right towards the docks, unless someone's not selling me something. If they're a merchant, I have no need to buy anything, and I'm just gonna walk right by them.
No need to buy. Okay, I go away. I throw.
Oh, you have a lot of people now near the docks, Kaitoa, milling about. There seems to be a shortage of transportation here, and as the crowd sort of mass, as the hours go on, and you stand there, you're definitely seeing an exciting, colorful port town that has a lot of traffic going back and forth, but certainly a shortage of public transit, say these boats that might take you back and forth to islands. And Kaitoa, you know, as your two minds fuse together, you live in this sort of waking dream in the hours after you recharge after a long rest. As you stand there in the white chain, you know, you pull out your mood stone.
Right.
And you're realizing right now the significance. This is a tracking device. It doesn't describe the mood of the owner. The owner is the object it tracks, and the mood is how far away the object is.
Okay. So at the docks, we're now going into memory, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to try and find someone who needs work for passage.
Okay. Well, you would notice, Kaitoa, there is a sort of underbelly here that is quite prominent. There are a lot of people offering their hands as deckhands.
Yeah, just push past all of them and walk up to whoever is, like, hiring.
Work for passage. Work for passage.
Okay. There are a couple lineups that you sort of push through. You're essentially looking at like a crew for hire line. It's like crew ready. It's labor ready at the docks here. And now there are a couple boats pulling in, Kaitoa. And as you push to the front of the crowd here, these folks who are congregated in a sort of for hire, you know, swab the deck for hire area, the shouts and the voices get super overwhelming and loud as there are large boats pulling in. They could probably have, you know, at least 100 people on them. So you see several of these boats all about to pull in to the same docks, and there are passengers and merchants and people with parcels and travelers and adventurers all around you.
So I guess it's like kind of like a job fair.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. I'm gonna yell out,
I sleep 4 hours a day. Who needs a night watchman and a deckhand?
Hey, you there! You with the low wages, is that what you're saying? You work more for less?
I just need passage.
Yes, step forward. Anyone else work for less?
Where are you going?
Not me! Me too! I don't sleep very much!
And a whole bunch of people are pushing up next to you as the boats draw in.
So I'm gonna look around and who's not jumping at the offer?
Most of the people around you, Kaitoa, look like hungry and thin and desperate, you know, for a meal and some earnings. The boat is now pulling up, and it's sort of the rear end of the boat. packages start coming out, luggage start coming. Oh, they're emptying the head. Oh, they're emptying the latrines into the water.
Is there only one boat or several boats?
There are three boats as shouts go up to the left and to the right.
Duck hands!
Duck hands!
So after yelling about my, like, lack of sleep and cheap labor, I want to know, like, that one boat definitely had someone come forward. I want to know what boats are kind of ignoring that
can service. You roll a persuasion, as you really have been able to kind of jump to the front of this gathering and sort of are looking at all of the opportunities as passengers go on board.
Yeah. I want to know what boat isn't worried about, like, taking the cheapest labor.
What is your persuasion like?
It's a zero.
So, Kaitoa, your persuasion roll was...
It's a six. Not good.
Well, the cheapest labor here will be the ship with the yellow sails. There with the sun iconography, the yellow sails there. Go ahead. You don't sleep much? You'll find good pay there.
And this fellow who's sort of manning a rope divider, you know, between the paying customers zone here, people who are begging for some work, indicates to you, you know, a ship with yellow sails. But you have been heard.
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna go towards the one who can't afford to pay anyone.
Okay. As you step aboard this ship, can you roll? What's your passive perception like, Kaitoa?
What is it? 13.
Okay. So you see the nameplate on this dilapidated ship, the Antelope. And it is in rough shape. It's got a list to the port, her sails in rags. And as you come in, you see a cook in the scuppers with the staggers and jags.
I'd like to speak to the captain of the ship, please.
New hand?
Yes.
Okay. Captain, up on deck.
And the cook that you've kind of bumped into here, as a couple of other hired hands file in with you, is pointing up to the main deck.
Constructs work very well and very long. You float too. That's a great asset at sea.
Yes, I'm very buoyant.
Yeah, this cook, who has a bad case of, you know, rickets, is indicating to you with a wooden spoon up to the deck.
All right, I'm going to make my way up there.
Okay, as you lumber up, you see the captain there overseeing all of the paying passengers on the decks below. And there are clearly, you know, paid sailors around him, and they're indicating that you and the other couple of deckhands that have been conscripted for this voyage stand in a line.
Deck swabbers and poop deckers and terrible things that we do on this ship that we don't want to do ourselves. Are you ready to work next week?
Yes.
7 days pay? 7 coppers.
There is mumbling and a little bit of grumbling from a couple of the people who've stood beside you.
So I'm going to look down at my stone and just kind of do a circle and see which direction my compass is pointing.
Yeah, well, the whole time that you've been heading down towards, the southern tip of the continent here, this boat, you know, it matches that direction. It appears that the way that it would depart from this jetty or this dock, and it appears that its destination is southwards, in agreement with your homing stone.
Are you headed south?
I say to the captain.
The captain looks around at you, construct, but it appears that one of his, you know, able seamen here who's shouting at the conscripts is sort of taking the initiative instead.
You two, grumbling! No coppers? You want more?
If you take me south, I'll work only for scrap metal.
Oh! No coppers. That's metal.
No, just raw metal.
Well, the captain begins to turn around. He has a three-pointed hat, and he raises an eyebrow. He's curious and realizes, you know, this one dark, sinewy figure amongst the three or four other higher deckhands seems to be, you know, kind of standing out here.
Very well. Well, fine then, fine. All the way on very little pay, and all the way to the island of Wii U is not that far at all. So welcome aboard, you three. And you, I don't like the look of you.
And he looks, there is like the fourth person here is like a tabaxi, young tabaxi man. And he is now being singled out.
Get off the ship. Don't like your kind.
All right.
Then the ship begins to depart. Kaitoa, as you see your three deckhands here begin to assume some pretty awful tasks. Yes, this guy is going to be servicing the poop deck. And yes, you know, this guy is going to be down on barnacle duty.
Who are the other two guys?
One other, I mean, it looks like this fellow is perhaps human. He's a tall fellow, very burly, and he seems to be given sail duty. You know, so he is pulling these massive ropes, and then you as well are assigned to sail duty. And now immediately, Katoa, you're given instructions and to pull out a port and unfurl those sails. So, yeah, you got a partner, I guess.
Who's my partner? What does he look like?
As you begin to look over, as you haul these ropes up, Katoa, that link to the main sail, your partner here has a very, very light skin. It looks like a human with a huge, bushy red beard. And you can barely see his mouth. But he seems to be very quiet.
All right. Well, while we engage our duties, I'm just going to keep an eye on him and take note of him until we cross paths.
Can you roll a deception?
Not great. 11.
Okay. As you spend the first, day or two of this, say, 5 or 6 day journey, you kind of give a couple knowing winks to your fellow hired hand here and form at least a working relationship with him on this rather large vessel. And on the third or fourth day, Kaitoa, there are pirates on the horizon. A horn goes up in the mid-morning, and you hear panicked screams. This is sudden, all of a sudden. And you and your compatriot here, I mean, you've not said a word to this guy. You haven't exchanged names or anything. You were sort of in the mid-morning hustle of changing the sails order and direction.
How many days has it been?
Say 3 out of a maybe 5 or 6 day journey. You're halfway to this most southern island of Wii U.
Have I gathered any, like, scrap metal?
Yes, sure. In those 3 days, Kaitoa, instead of payment, you have accepted, all kinds of little armor and, metal plating.
All right. Well, yeah, I've slowly been attaching it to myself, and I've been growing around it, or my body's been, like, molding in, like, holding onto that armor. Yeah, I guess we're just gonna point out the pirates, and I try and make contact with them.
Kaitoa, can you roll a strength?
Yeah. Oh, nat 20. Sweet.
All right. There is a fracas with a large pirate vessel that is bent on banditry at sea. The Antelope. This is a vessel with 100 or more passengers with all kinds of valuables, not to mention surely there are ransomable heads on here. And Kaitoa, you make a real impression on this fracas, and in fact you turn the tide.
Hey.
There is a reward from the captain. You are given a suit of armor befitting of your size and girth. Throughout this voyage, as you've been tinkering away, putting together garbage pieces together, that is all discarded. And by the time you arrive at your destination on the southern island of Wiyu, you are transformed. And you step off the docks. Anything you do as you depart the ship?
I'd like to talk to that deckhand a little more and see where he's going.
Oh, the other deckhand.
Yeah. Okay.
The other fellows that you were conscripted with and picked up off the docks here on your southern journey, they all look at you with surprise.
Well, us, you're seeming to be on a mission. Or we're just lowly deckhands. I'm taking the next ship back to the mainland. Just enough money to feed my family, etc.
Okay. But that guy beside me who's working the sails, that's who I meant to be talking to.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you give him a look as these other kind of crewmen scurry back towards the docks, and he seems to be following as well.
Oh, I'm going back as well. Pull more ropes and sail. You pulled the ropes good with me.
What's your name?
Hogarth.
Where are you headed?
Back to the docks. Pay Hogarth to pull on ropes.
Right, Hogarth. Well, it was nice to meet you. I'll remember you. Keep an eye out. I'll be looking for you.
Good 5 days. Hang 10 in Wiyu.
Yeah, brah.
Yeah. Hogarth strong.
And he makes a fist in the air as he goes back towards the docks.
All right. Now I'm just going to look up at Wiyu and follow the dot.
Follow your homing beacon stone, your homing stone?
Yeah.
All right. There are 3 territories on this island, and your stone seems to be pointing you right into the center of all 3. You know, where all 3 territories intersect right into the heart of the southern jungle, the deep jungle. And your stone is pointing you right there. I mean, you will be leaving the road immediately after you've landed here.
All right. Well, I'm just going to keep... I'm going to start bushwhacking.
Keep on rolling, keep on rolling. That's what Kaitoa do. Kaitoa, you've now been, you know, outfitted by the generous captain of that vessel in a pretty sweet you know, outer encasing of armor. Do you think you took the time to, you know, procure any weapons for bushwhacking as you enter into the depths of the jungle island of Wii U?
I think I might just have some of my scrap metal that I can easily, like, on a rock, chisel into a bit of a point and just start hacking through the woods. No, I don't think I asked for a sword or anything like that.
Okay. As you travel deep, deep into the jungle, you know, neither sun nor pelting rain nor humidity seems to belay your advance, Kaitoa. You stomp on again, you know, through various vistas and scenes, and you're now finally reaching a settlement in the middle of the jungle, and they seem to anticipate your arrival, Kaitoa. As you emerge from the jungle, you see a settlement of approximately 100 people, not a large settlement at all, and they are all facing the jungle from which you are about to emerge. You have been walking now for weeks.
They obviously notice me, right?
The whole town appears to be looking in your direction into the forest.
Just gonna keep stomping forward, following that stone like nothing stands in my way.
As you walk out of the cover, the villagers, the townsfolk say nothing. But in fact, you know, these folks are all, you know, very pale-skinned, a lot of them with red hair, a lot of ponytails and beards here, a lot of ponytails and beards. And they part in front of you, Kaito, and they seem to be leading into a central building in their village, a sort of, you know, ashram or shrine.
I assume my stone is pointing in this direction.
Oh, yes, as you glance down. The moment that you kind of try and move it left and right and test a bit, you know, it goes from green to red.
Yeah. All right. Move my way in. Just kind of observing the crowd as I'm walking through.
Okay. Anything in particular you'd be looking for in this crowd or in this settlement?
Their attitude, their mood.
Awe.
Also, is there a fire?
There is. There is a hut that seems to have a rudimentary forge.
Okay, sweet.
Well, but the atmosphere is awe and reverence, Kaitoa. There are a few people bowing and now bowing so low that they are sort of prostrate before you and bowing so low that as you walk towards the central tent, there's sort of a corridor of people in various stages of sort of bowing and praying.
Okay, I'm gonna walk towards the tent and go in.
All right, as you enter, this sort of yurt, this large tent, can you roll a perception?
Oh, fuck. Terrible rolls. 12.
There is a wooden hand-carved case in front of you. Ornate carvings on the outside. It's a rectangular prism.
Is there anyone else in the room?
There is no one. The 100 or so onlookers have all been left outside of this central-most sort of shrine tent.
I kind of look back and see these people all staring at me and then look at the case and, I guess, gently open it.
Okay, as you open this case, and it opens along a vertical seam, you hear audible gasps, from the crowd behind you. And as you open the case, you see an impression of an object that is missing.
What is my stone doing right now?
Your stone right now flickers orange.
Amber alert. Amber alert.
The stone starts to flicker, and you look down at this, empty pocket, like you've taken the avocado core, the avocado pit, out of the avocado.
Yeah.
But this is not the shape of a sphere or an avocado pit. This is more what you would more closely describe.
Like a hair pick or a comb?
Sort of, yeah. One single shape.
A dagger of some kind. Sweet. All right. Well, I turn around and look at everyone else, close the lid, and walk out of the hut.
As you do so, there is a contingent of warriors that comes up to you. They are well arrayed in all kinds of, it seems like, spear and shield sort of weaponry and heraldry. Like, this is a tight-looking force. And they seem to be indicating that there is a battle nearby. And Kaitoa, as you think back to all of these memories and the flashing orange stone, you're brought back into your present consciousness in the bottom floor of the White Chain. And now you think again about your homing stone, and it is flashing orange. And that, my Tin Can Man friend, is where we'll at least leave our friend Kaitoa tonight.
Hmm,